to the UK Skype. Riding shotgun with me is Gwen. And today we're going to be talking about all manner of things. I've written some notes down from various Skypes through the years. And I'll be sharing my dream experiences and the interpretations and information that Dwayne gave with his insights about what he believed the dreams to be demonstrating, etc. And today also, Gwen is going to be breaking down Brexit. Because as you know, in the UK, we are in the throes of this Brexit debacle, where up until now, we have been in the shackles of the European Union. And we had a vote a couple of years ago in 2016, where I think it was 54% of people chose to leave it. And then later, here we are, and it seems they're still dragging out the process. And a lot of people don't understand, understandably, what this Brexit is all about and what it means and all the details and nonsense around it that is keeping people distracted, etc. And so I shall now hand the mic over to Gwen, and she shall attempt to illuminate you all as to the specifics of Brexit. So take it away, Gwen.
Okay. Brexit. I don't think many people really understand it properly. So I've had to look up stuff on the internet just to get an idea of what it's about. I mean, I obviously know that we're trying to leave the Europe thing, but the ins and outs are a bit tricky. Okay, so as Kevin said, we all had a nice vote in 2016 to decide whether we should stay in or leave or whatever. And everybody thought, because of the stuff on the telly, oh, we've lost, we're not going to leave. And in the morning, we found out that we'd actually won and Brexit was happening. And it was all like, ooh, exciting. But obviously, it's a lot of stuff to do. So we didn't actually leave the next day, which was a bit silly, but anyway. So as Kevin said, the Leave won by 50-something% and the Remain was about 48%. And there was a huge turnout, which says it all, really, compared to the normal elections, 71% of people. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff. So the European Union, which is what we were in, has 28 countries in it. And it began after World War II, so that there was sort of cooperation with economy and trading and this and that and the other. And it's now it's a single market. Hope somebody understands this, because I'm not 100% with it. So that goods and people can move around as if the whole Europe was one country, which again is the push towards, let's make us a European state and an American state and that sort of stuff. So we're all bunched into different areas. Why am I waving my hands? So anyway, so we've got this currency is the euro, which we haven't done, which I'm pleased about, because a lot of people don't want to lose everything to European stuff. So we've got a European Parliament, and they control the environment, transport, blah, blah, blah. And we're controlled a lot by this European Parliament, which is why we wanted to come out. So then there comes the tricky part. We've all said, yes, we want to leave. So if UK wants to leave the European Union, I think the Prime Minister or somebody has to invoke Article 50, which is some treaty. So it gives both sides, Europe and us, 2 years to agree the terms of the split. And Theresa May triggered it on 29th March 2017, which means that we are rapidly approaching the time when we should leave, which is Friday, 29th of March, 2019. And at the moment, it is complete chaos. And in theory, it should be happening, but we need to know, we need to have a deal or not a deal or something. So the government are saying, perhaps we could have another referendum. A lot of people are saying that. But it's sort of like, let's have another referendum so we can get the results that we really want, which is stay in the European Union. And there's a lot of faffing about. And anyway, so we want a deal. Because if we just leave, we're on our own, basically. So after a lot of talking and Theresa May running over and coming back, and the UK and European Union agreed a deal, which is a withdrawal agreement and a huge statement on future relations, which is what's going to happen. Are we going to trade? What will happen with people and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so there's a transition period from March 2019 to December 2020 to get everything in place and sort out what happens to all the people that come from Europe and what happens to businesses and how trade is going and will we be able to import, export and stuff like that. So the problem is this deal thing. So at the moment, Theresa May is trying to get a good deal for us, so we're not sort of like chucked in the bin. And if we didn't have a deal, England, UK would be completely severed from the European Union. There's no guarantee on citizens' rights. There's no guarantee that businesses won't be disrupted and there'll be lorries queuing up at the Channel ports and all this sort of stuff and food shortages and stockpiling medicine just in case they run out and all this sort of thing. So it's quite of a sort of scary thing that they're trying to push on us, and people are getting a bit freaked out. And a lot of people who normally would, because Kevin sort of stockpiles food just in case, not for anything nuclear weapon drop or something, but in case there's a situation like this. And a lot of people who sort of went, ha ha, isn't that silly, are now also stockpiling, including members of my family. So it's hit people suddenly, and they suddenly went, this could be nasty for this country. But I mean, who knows really? Anyway, so Theresa May's deal, she went backwards and forwards. The Parliament voted on it and they decided, no, we don't want that. She lost quite badly. I didn't want the deal she had. So she's gone back in again to get a better deal. But she sort of had to change bits and pieces. And then they had another vote and they didn't, and Parliament didn't want that either. So now she's in a position where it's pretty close to 2 days. No, it's about a week and a half to this weird thing coming out, and she still hasn't got a good deal for us. So at the moment it's a bit chaotic. Nobody quite knows what is going to happen, but it's, people are getting a bit, oh, are we going to be able to travel abroad? And there's a lot of immigrants from Poland and things like that which have filled up jobs, and they're all worried about will they get kicked out. And it's really quite scary at the moment, in a funny sort of way. It's not scary as all the end of the world, but nobody quite knows what's going to happen with it. So at the moment, she's running backwards and forwards trying to get this deal. The Parliament lot are saying, no, we don't want this deal. And then they're saying we should have another general election to get the government sorted out, which will, again, will be chaotic. So that's what it stands at the moment. And I think that's about it, really. I mean, there's a lot of ins and outs of about European citizens. You know, can they stay in England? Can they not stay in England? Will they be able to travel? I think it's going to be harder to travel because there'll be a lot of checks here and there and borders and this and that and the other. And we might need visas to go to Europe, as we do in America. So we'll have to see. So at the moment, it's sort of like transition, and she's going back to find another deal. And we're hoping that it will go through. So that is it at the moment. We've got a week and a half to get this sorted out. And I really don't think we're going to in that time, or they're going to in that time. Again, it's sort of the thing of the people say, this is what we want. And then the people that we voted into Parliament say, we don't like this, we're not going to vote for it. So it gets a bit stupid in the end, and it's very much, you know, the people above, whoever they are steering it towards, no, we don't want to come out. So watch this space, really. And back to Kevin.
Okay. Good work, Gwen. That broke it down quite nicely, and I would suggest Well, basically, all what it boils down to is it's the ongoing process of globalisation, where more and more they are centralising power into fewer and fewer hands.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. It's one of the key words you mention all the time, and by mentioning it, it makes you sound very cool indeed.
It does.
And yes, and so it was. I mean, the whole thing was designed and probably planned hundreds, if not thousands, of years ago, and it's been a slow process ever since. When we were brought into the European Union, I think in the '70s by Edward Heath, sort of thing.
Yeah, I thought so.
It was originally designed to be just a sort of like a to assist and facilitate trade. Little did we know, we are signing up to be ruled by a central dictatorship of unelected officials and bureaucrats who are completely unaccountable. And were you to ask the average Joe on the streets, can you even name any of these people for which we are taking orders from and seem to have control of our country? I would imagine they could not name one single individual. And, of course, it's not going to end here either. Our plan was, once all the countries have been consolidated into European Union, then ultimately the goal would become a one-world union in which all the countries would be consolidated, and then you'd have a one-world government, a one-world currency, and a one-world army, which would enforce the dictates of the central control area. And that would be the ultimate objective, so... It's quite interesting the fact they gave us the vote in the first place, which is rather strange. Mm. But I think they slightly underestimated the extent to which people would see through it and vote against it. But as you can see, they obviously have no intention of allowing us to leave, obviously, because this is one of their big agendas, the globalisation process. So, and as you can see, that's why everything is such a complete mess. And what it all boils down to, when you get to the very central issue, is the controllers want to keep everybody in creation. They don't want anybody to leave and return to the real universes and recognise there is. And so all of this nonsense is just endless distraction to keep people focused on things happening in creation. And of course, the more mayhem they can bring to the fore, the better, because then people become emotionally embroiled in it. And so people are constantly focusing on only their literal sides and their emotional bodies. And when when it gets down to it, that is effectively what the entire thing is all about, just keeping people focused on things that really don't matter. And because it's quite interesting, and it was made quite plain how the whole parliamentary process is a load of nonsense anyway, because recently they were having the votes where they were, some of the MPs were putting further amendments forward, and it seemed that the Speaker of the House seemed to have strange extra powers in which he could decide which amendments got accepted and which ones got turned out. And one of the amendments proposed was the majority of the MPs decided they did not, in fact, want another referendum vote. But this was one of the ones discarded by the Speaker of the House. So obviously there are all these contingencies and extra things in place to ensure that the controllers get what they want, regardless of the votes of the people. And so it's very likely this country could well descend into chaos in the months that follow. But again, all that does is everyone becomes emotionally embroiled and involved in everything, and then it keeps them locked in and in creation. And this is again basically the idea when it boils down to it. So we better stop there with the Brexit, because it's not the most exciting of subjects, but considering this is the UK radio show, I thought it was prudent to speak about probably the main topical issue at the moment in the UK, which is indeed Brexit. And there's a very good chance that if everything does descend into complete chaos, we could see martial law on the streets, we could see all sorts of economic sanctions slapped on the country, and all sorts of strange taxations and trade problems and supply lines being restricted and waylaid, sort of thing. And if in fact we do, which is very unlikely, if we do leave the European Union, then we will definitely be isolated and probably completely destroyed as a country. And you may well see us going along the lines of Venezuela, which, as a lot of people know, was once quite a fairly profitable country and now has been turned into a complete Mad Max war zone. But moving on. I thought we'd share our dreams. And for those who perhaps who are listening to this for the first time, the information pertaining to the new presentation, one of the main aspects of it is to sing the new UU before you go to bed and in the morning is also advised. For this allows the connection to the real universes and allows the unfolding process of becoming more aware to take place. And the guides can then step in and they can start to provide you experiences and demonstrations on other life levels and dimensions, in which it allows you to become more aware and recognise the real universes and recognise the is. And so, by seeing the new you before you go to bed, your dream visions will open up, and it's well worth paying attention to your dreams and writing down in the morning, for they are providing life lessons and warnings and informations that are relevant to your life and your process, showing you all the restrictions and tap linings that you need to be aware of and realistically release and let go of. And so, here are some of my dreams. And I've included here, with my dreams, the interpretations that Dwayne would give. Because on the Skypes that we have, the UK Skype on bi-monthly on Sunday, we will share our dream experiences, and Dwayne will respond with insights and information about how he views them and what he sees that the dreams are trying to demonstrate. So, my first dream I shall share is that I was walking along a street and suddenly an individual who was very tall, who was very blue and in possession of very many arms would suddenly beckon me into his shop. I was intrigued, so into his shop I would go. And following him, we came to the ground floor, and there was a rudimentary floor design, and he requested that I change the floor design, and which I did. A very curious method I then employed. I span around in a rapid circle, and the floor changed and reconstituted itself, and recreated itself in a delightful new floor image that was very pleasing to the eyeballs. And then I left the shop, and I would encounter even more individuals, each one of which asked if I would do the same. And so I spent many merry minutes entering into these various abodes of these individuals and rearranging their floor in the same method. And they seemed to be very delighted with my efforts, but for some reason all the masses of religious individuals on the physical level, all the religious followers of all religious types and persuasions you could possibly imagine, were not pleased at all. In fact, they were very irate and angry with me. But that was basically the dream. And Dwayne would say that it's very apparent I was bothering the religious people. But that's all part of it. You can't really share this new presentation information without bothering somebody. And the majority of people will be bothered and agitated. That goes without saying. It's quite amusing what he said about this many-armed individual. He said it's like they like to grab many things from people, so that suggests why he has so many arms at his disposal. But anyway. So the ground floor that they were inviting me in to change would basically be representing their physical sides, and because a lot of these individuals will see what I am doing in regards to my process of becoming more aware, and they themselves want a new look or a new idea about their ground level or what they are walking on. So helping them redesign their ideas, it was demonstrated in this dream by my redesigning the ground floors of all their buildings. So I'm basically assisting them in redesigning their physical ideas, because obviously it would seem they have a lot of ideas they've clung to and they're rather bored of them, they want to shake loose of them. And so this dream was demonstrating that they can see that I had the awareness to be able to help them in this regard, and thus I did. And for my next dream, it's all about... This is the dream about spiders and androids. And my house was completely under attack by all these hideous, mutated, large spiders, and they had strong webs everywhere, and they presented a very frightful scene indeed. But luckily at hand was a group of very accommodating androids, which were more than happy to deal with all these spiders and remove them from my home. And the next scene was me and my android chums. We went to what seemed to be some sort of bank, or it was some sort of financial type of building, and all the money contained there was all of a digital nature. And these robots, or these androids, had the ability to plug themselves in to the databases on the computers in this building and usurp all the funding. And in the dream, they managed to get for themselves $25 billion, as I remember. Was it $1 million? Well, it was quite a lot of money anyway. And I was with these androids. It was me and a few other flesh and blood people, as you will. And we skimmed a couple of million off the top. And I recounted this dream to Dwayne. He would suggest that these spiders were obviously nasty critters and obviously associated with the dark side, as it were. And so the androids were sent here to help me get rid of those to begin with. And the whole dream was effectively about my earning my way. And Dwayne suggested that it's very likely that the guides may have sent the mechanical androids to help me out. And in the dream, by gleaning all that currency that we did, it was a demonstration that I'm on my adventure and trying to support myself realistically. A lot of times dreams will be very exaggerated, and what you see in the dream is exaggerated in such a way so it draws your attention. And your otherwise, if it were a very bland dream or and it wasn't very exciting, it would be very easy to dismiss it. So dreams with very exaggerated and blown out of proportion demonstrations tend to grab your attention and hit home more so what they're trying to present, as in the situations and dreams that I'm recounting here and others. And my next dream, I was with a group of people, and we were part of a dancing class, and at one point we seemed to fall out of favour with the dancing teacher, and she demanded that we leave her presence immediately, and she sent a security guard to ensure that this was so. What then transpired then was an opportunity to share the new presentation and information about it with this security guard, and so I did so. He listened, but then what followed was very unexpected. He started swearing and effing, blinding and being very abusive and rude indeed. He even called me racist and all sorts of things that made absolutely no sense whatsoever. But nevertheless, we sort of went on our merry way, me and my group, but we seemed to be lost in a labyrinth of tunnels. Unable to find the way out, I would produce what seemed to be a talisman. It was actually, it seemed to be the new you sound, but in the form of a talisman or a sigil. And by linking it hands with everybody and concentrating on this talisman, this new you talisman, and the destination I wished to reach, off we went. And we were teleported to safety, and we were liberated from the labyrinth of doom. When I arrived at our destination, some of the people there, some of my group, were asking me how I did this. And I explained about the talisman and what it actually represented. And they were very intrigued, so I took the opportunity to explain more about the new presentation and the life levels. And I even gave them a few little cards with websites on about the new presentation. And they seemed very happy and pleased with this, unlike the security guard. And it was very interesting because, as we know, everything in this simulated reality is basically, when you get down to the foundation level of it, is an electromagnetic energy field. And so when it when you decode it through your physical vehicle in into your reality, it would appear to be you, everything gets transfigured into sort of shapes and images and light and colour and so on and so forth. And so basically a frequency is effectively represented by the, a shape or a colour or a sound. And one shape and a shape, as an example, can be on the same frequency as a colour. And so it's very likely in this dream that this talisman was designed in such a way that it represented the same frequency as the new you sound, and it, perhaps even the colour too, which, as I remember, was a gold colour. I can't remember the exact nuance of gold, but it will be very specific and possibly, and as I said, it's very likely it'll be on the same frequency as the new you sound. And Dwayne said in response to this that it was very evident that they didn't like what I was trying to share, so I was ousted from the dancing place. Either that or my dancing was so terrible no one wanted to see it, one or the other. And so it's very apparent that this dream is simply showing that as much as you will share it, there will be, not everyone will be receptive to it, and some people can be very aggressive and agitated by it. In a funny sort of way, though, I've actually found that probably the people who are getting very close to being accepting of it are those who are most agitated. For why would they be agitated in the first place? Usually, if someone sees absolutely nothing in something, they have no interest in it whatsoever, it wouldn't agitate them and they wouldn't consider it at all. They would simply dismiss it. But obviously, if a part of them is starting to recognise it, but their personal self is strong enough to deny this recognition, they're going to have an internal tug of war, a type of cognitive dissonance, if you will. And this will result in a lot of agitation and a lot of aggression and a lot of frustration, usually directed at the person who is providing them this agitation. And so often I find this actually very encouraging, more so when somebody is aggressive in response to what you are sharing with them than somebody who just dismisses it completely. And so it's worth to continue pestering them, I would think. Anyway, on to the next dream. This next dream, I would go to a conference. There were lots of military bigwigs there, lots of very high rank and file controller type individuals. Amongst them was President Putin, and they all seemed to be receiving some sort of learnings or teachings. There was a big screen on the wall, and all sorts of informations obviously were very interesting to them. Probably not very good for the average slave on the planet, but certainly I'm sure they found it very enlightening. And at one point, Putin was sitting there in his normal appearance, as you see him on TV and so on and so forth. But all of a sudden, his head would change to that of a reptilian, and he looked like he had the head of a gecko. And he was still wearing his very expensive suit, but now he had a gecko head protruding from it. And I thought, well, that was all very interesting. Interesting enough, the job that I have on the physical level, there is a security guard there. And she was in the dream too, and she seemed to be very friendly with President Putin, as though they knew each other. And yet they couldn't have been further worlds apart on the physical level. There's President Putin in Russia, and there's this security guard in England, keeping us all safe from the terrors of the night. And when I shared this, Dwayne would say that this dream is simply showing me what is going on in the world. It is showing me the real side of things. For it, as an example, what the controllers are up to, doing their dodgy dealings and activities behind closed doors for the detriment of us all. And also the very likelihood that President Putin is indeed a reptilian, as most of the controllers and the elites are. And the security guard, he suggested, was chucked in as well into the dream as a demonstration of perhaps false security. And I also suggested that I had the sense that this security guard may not be what she seems. I felt there was a possibility that she may have been placed there in my place of work to keep an eye on me. This sounds a little far-fetched, but then again, with the very few people that are grasping this information and doing their process of becoming more aware, they will definitely be drawing attention of the Callum God and his controlling forces and minions. And so it's very likely that they will station individuals near to these awakening individuals in order to keep tabs on them. And so it's very possible this security guard, that is her, in fact, her agenda. She may not even realize it herself, because if she lacks the awareness and all she is aware of is her physical and emotional side, her physical and astral body, it's very unlikely that her true intent will even be known to her. Because she may well be in cahoots with the Callum forces at higher levels of life, and they may have arranged and negotiated with her to be positioned in this job for that very reason. So she's literally a spy and not even knowing it herself. And interestingly enough, that reminds me of another situation that happened at my place of work. When I was working there, and we had a temporary worker who came in, and she kept staring at me, and it was rather strange. And as I continued with my work, every time I would round a corridor, there she would be, staring at me. And this staring became rather strange after a while. So I decided, well, maybe I'll chat with this staring individual. And my first thing I would do is I would smile at her before I would just engage her in conversation. So I smiled at her, and she smiled back. But when she smiled, her mouth was full of razor-sharp teeth. Her jaw became impossibly wide, and it's almost like disconnected, almost like you can imagine that a snake does when it disconnects its jaw in order to eat food and rabbits and such. And it's almost like a disconnected snake mouth full of razor-sharp teeth. And it was a little disconcerting, and then she wandered off, and I would never see her again. She was there for one day, then she would never return. So again, it's very possible that this was an individual keeping an eye on me and maybe trying to, you know, possibly scare the people who are on their process of becoming more aware to try and put them off. Because a lot of times when you do go on your road to return to the is, the controllers will find all sorts of manners and ways of trying to put you off and distract you and dishearten you. You will have lots of encounters with the dark side, all sorts of critters and creatures whose intent is to put you off. And you'll see a lot of these in your dreams, but you will also see them on the physical level. As in this example, a woman with lots of teeth. And a lot of people have reported all sorts of similar experiences. Actually, it was quite interesting because I was listening to a Richie Allen show the other day, and there was an individual on there called, I can't remember his name now, it's completely slipped from my mind. Ender, that was his name. Ender Coin was his name. And he was actually recounting, oh no, it wasn't the Richie Allen show, it was actually the Kevin Baker show. Nevertheless, he was recounting all his experiences where he was constantly under attack from these strange creatures. And it was almost like poltergeist activity, and him and his entire family seemed to be under siege from these ethereal beings and individuals. And because he had no information about, or hadn't come across any information about the new presentation, all he could do was basically draw from his own experiences and references. And so, for an individual that had not come across this information that Dwayne is providing and the guys are providing, all he could do was basically draw from what he knew himself. And so he put it down to demonic possession. And that is actually seems to be quite a common thing. So I think it would seem that a lot of people who are moving along in the direction in which they're getting very close to being approached by the guides and being given this opportunity, a lot of times they will actually, a lot of the dark forces will try and waylay them and interfere with them and agitate them at that particular point to try and put them off before they do start to make the connection with the real universes and they do start to become more aware. And And so there's always the danger that if they haven't come, well, the danger, there's always the possibility, it seems very common that if these individuals who haven't quite found the new presentation yet, but are almost prepped by the guides to do so, there's a very good chance they will put it down to demonic possession, and they'll go off on all sorts of funny tangents. For example, this individual, he became, unfortunately, very religious. He decided that God was the way. And if he goes to the reptilian churches and starts praying to the reptilian god, he will save him and look after him, and so on and so forth, which is obviously couldn't be further from the truth, because it is in fact the Callum god who's sending out all these various minions to put people off and distract people and annoy people and divert them from the new presentation. But nevertheless, it seemed to work for him. But I suggest the reason why it worked for him and the demonic possession came to an end was probably because now he has put it down to a demonic possession. He has connected with the god, or the Callum god, did he but know it. And it has probably taken him away from finding the new presentation, as an example. And so the Callum god is no longer needs to bother him anymore with these demonic creatures. And so, unfortunately, this individual will then be following religion for this lifetime and possibly future lifetimes as well. But, as I was saying, I went off on a bit of a tangent then. I don't know where I was, but I was talking about dreams, I think. But, as I said, it does seem to be a very common thing that at that very pivotal moment where people are possibly getting very ready to stumble across the new presentation and they're very receptive to it, there's always that chance that they will be under very heavy attack from the dark side, and it may make them go into all sorts of funny areas. As I said, they may turn to religion, they may turn to all sorts of past life regressions and spiritual practices and have crystals and on their heads and things like that, and all sorts of funny ideas in creation that they feel they may help them. But it just seems to be part of it, and eventually they'll probably work through that sometime in the future and get back on track. But nevertheless, so yes, watch out for people with sharp teeth. And such, and dodgy security guards. Where was I? This is rather a long dream. I'll try and shorten it a little bit, I think, because otherwise we'll run the risk of running out of time before I finish my stuff. I was with a group of people, and I'm quite commonly with a group of people, actually, and Dwayne has asked me what the number of this group is, and I said it tends to be around half a dozen or so, and he asks if I can discern who they are, and I have said I find them familiar, but I couldn't place them as individuals that I know on the physical level. And so Dwayne suggests they're very likely to be the guides. And it's very common that the guides will actually feature in your dreams, but that they will never be in their actual forms of being the guides, because if they do, the focus can be too much on the guides themselves and not on the demonstration that they are trying to provide. And so they're very aware of that. And so very often they will take on the role of individuals in your dreams, or they'll simply be there, but not in a form that you can recognise. And a lot of times they'll actually be in the form of friends and family, etc. Anyway, so with my group of people, we approached a huge gateway. At this time, the gateway was open. We went through it, and we proceeded beyond, and the gate would slam shut behind us. The group proceeded on, but I hesitated. It was like I had a change of heart, and I now clambered over the sealed gate and back to the other side. On the other side now, there were this array of monsters approaching, all sorts of creatures and beasties and ghastly things, shuffling and crawling and approaching me, as you can imagine monsters do, in a very monstrous approaching way. and wolves and things. And but even with this advancing menace, I lingered. Suddenly, an individual appeared on what I would say the happy side of the gate that the beasties weren't on. And he was quite incredulous and astounded that I would have clambered back over into this sort of realm of horrors. And so sense would prevail, and I quickly clambered over the gate once again onto the safe side. But this individual had gone, and also had my group. They had moved on. I was alone, and these creatures were clamouring and banging and pressing up against the gate. In fact, some of them were breaking through it. Time was of the essence. And so I looked around frantically, and I could see no sign of my group and this individual who I believed to be the who I imagined was probably a guide. And I called out in angst. I asked, "Where are you? Help me. Where do I go?" And things along that nature. And I could discern a very vague voice floating ethereally in the air. I could lock onto it and understand it. So I concentrated very hard, and I suddenly received directions, and it pointed me towards a door, another door on the side of the street, where evidently my group had gone. So I put an egg in my heels and beat it towards this door, and all these creatures were snapping and snarling and biting around my ankles. Two of them attached themselves to my hands, and I was shaking my hands trying to get them to release me. And I remember actually saying at the time, "Well, if you're not going to let go of my hands, I guess you're coming with me." And so I dragged these ugly creatures along, attached to my hands, all the way up to this door. And I quickly passed inside. And I was safe. But there was one part of the this doorway that was a bit worrisome, in that it was a bit of a vetting situation, in which you could only pass through this door if you were proven to be sincere and pure, or at least sincere and pure enough that you could go on to this next position. And luckily I made the grade, or I would have been left behind with the beasties. So I went inside, and my group were there, and lots of other people were there too. And we were now a very different species. We were no longer in human vehicles. We seemed to have what seemed to be biomechanical bodies, except they weren't metallic, they were in fact almost organic and malleable, and they would react to our very thoughts. There was one individual who recognised somebody there that he did not like from a previous position in life, and the moment he uttered his disdain, his finger elongated and almost poked this person's eye out. And there were other people there who seemed to know what was going on, more so than the rest of us. And they said to us, "We need to be very conscious of our thoughts and control them, and be careful not to let our thoughts float. Contain our thoughts, otherwise all sorts of strange things will happen." And indeed, when I looked down at my body, I was female, and the moment I considered this, I suddenly became male, as an example. And it was a strange species, as I said. Very strange, organic, almost metallic-looking skins, and we all had very strange and brightly coloured hairdos. And before I woke up, I had another impression, and it was this. If I had stayed on the other side of the gate, with the beasties and the creatures, I would not be in this more favourable position in life. I would in fact be a female again, as I was in this life, in this position here, but I would be another female in a much darker area of creation, and it seemed I was being subjected to rape and abuse. And Dwayne's response was very interesting. I shall recount it here. The dream was basically demonstrating the going back and forth, the returning to old attitudes. The dream basically demonstrates what could potentially happen if we keep going back. Dwayne described an example of a woman who receives a constant beating and belittlement from her partner. She may call the police, but she would always go back to the abuse. And it is the same with emotional attachments. As we keep going through it, and obviously we must decide to do so, we will sort of see more and more. And as demonstrated in this dream, purity and sincerity is required to get to the next point. You do need to clean yourself up a bit and your attitudes if you are to move on. You are always the decider. We always make subtle choices, and one choice can be all that it takes, and you can be thrown back into more unconscious lifetimes. Dwayne would say it's not about good, bad, right or wrong. It's simply choice and about awareness. And you become aware of what is going on, and you can look at all these experiences objectively. And these dreams provide that opportunity, and then you can replay it, and you can get a better idea. Creation is indeed a toughie. Never take it for granted. And most people don't ever even consider this. They never consider their ideas, their beliefs, their attachments. These are things that are holding them in creation and ensuring they come back for future lifetimes. That is all it can boil down to. A simple choice. And you're somewhere you'd rather not be. You get stronger and more aware with the experiences that you have. And that's why we are here in creation. Yes, I've recounted on previous dreams how that I've had all sorts of attacks from various individuals of a very dubious nature. And as I was saying earlier, this is a very common thing. As people carry on with their process of becoming more aware, they will have these attacks from the dark side on the real side in their dreams and on the physical level. And I've had several such encounters recently with all sorts of creepy individuals. One that I described as reminding me of the Pennywise the Clown character in the It book by Stephen King. And this one I had was along those sort of lines. I will refer to him as the psycho with the mask. If you've ever seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the individual in that was a mass murderer who decided to wear a mask made out of human skin. And this individual reminded me of that, basically a knife-wielding individual with a very poorly made mask. I've seen better masks hanging from the shelves of Tesco's at Halloween. But nevertheless, I guess the psychos on the real side are on quite a tight budget when it comes to masks and attire. So, anyway, he was chasing me all over the place. He was trying to do me harm. He had ill intent. He was not the sort of person you'd want to invite for dinner. I was with a group as well, and they were equally chased around. And then eventually we rendezvoused with the larger group, and we seemed to be safe at this point. Dwayne basically said along the same lines that the individuals who choose to become more aware and to attempt to recognise the is and return to it are always being assaulted and chased about by these dubious characters. The ones that control us don't want us to leave the slave pits and the matrix. They don't want to be exposed. This can remind us all that out on the physical level, on the streets, everything can look fine. But remember, this is the matrix. And on the real side, you can see things as they actually are. You can actually identify people and what they are all about. Their real intentions, and not all of them, are benign. It's a funny dream. I'm sure I'll get a smirk out of Gwen for this, as I did on Skype. It probably doesn't sound the most exciting dream. But, nevertheless, I quite liked the explanation for it, so I will recount it here on my dream. I was trying to take a bath. yes, apparently cleanliness is as important on the real side as on the physical side. But anyway, I began to move my top. Then I found another top underneath. This was very strange, thought I. So I removed that top. Again, another top would be found underneath. There seemed to be an insurmountable number of eternal tops that I could never seem to get to the bottom of. For every time I removed a top, another one would be found. And so it went on and on. Eventually, this got a tad boring, so I abandoned my bath idea and I went downstairs. There was an individual there, and I began to tell him about this very strange phenomena, about the mystery of the eternal tops. He said to me that he believes it may be something to do with possibly a glitch in the simulated matrix. And I thought, that's a very interesting idea, and we discussed it further. And the explanation that Dwayne would give is that basically the tops represent ideas, one idea after another, and the bath would represent my trying to clean myself up, not literally, but my attitudes and my ideas. It is basically the want to take off these ideas, but then, or more often than not, there are other ideas to deal with, eternal ideas that must be dealt with and sought through with the personal self. And so, that is why I went downstairs, effectively, to level one with the personal self. And so, the individual I was having a discussion with was, in fact, my personal self. And I was viewing this objectively. As we keep going through it... Oh, now I've gone to the wrong page. Yes. Objectively, that's the last word I said, yes. And so, we all have to deal with our personal selves. As long as we are here, there is always something to deal with. And another dream I had. And, Gwen, Peter, and I were under attack from vampires. These vampires did not wish to kill us. No, they wanted to turn us into their own kind. And at one point, one of them was successful. It bit me and infected me, and I became a vampire. But luckily enough, in my pocket, I had a strange token. It bore this wording, one extra life. I activated it, and I was transformed back from a vampire into my current form. And we fled from the vampires, and we found refuge in another individual's house. And there we hid as the vampires searched. This individual had some very large snakes, a pair of large pythons as pets. That is where the dream would end. And Dwayne said to me, this was a dream demonstrating the running from one idea to another, thinking the new idea is better than the last, thinking the grass is greener on the other side, from vampires to pythons. But although it appears to be a different situation, it is in fact not exactly no better than the last. And so, I mean, it begs the question, would you rather be attacked by vampires or eaten by snakes? Possibly neither. Take option number 3. Don't get eaten by snakes or bitten by vampires. This last dream, you'll be pleased to hear. I call it the creepy-faced book. there was a book of creepy faces.
Is that it?
There were these couple of individuals who had this book, and they were hoarding it and wouldn't allow anybody to see it. And I wanted to see it, and they didn't want me to see it. I insisted. I persisted. Eventually, I would get my peek at the book's contents. It seemed to depict individuals whose distorted faces. It reminded me a little bit of that Scream mask. I don't know if you ever, if anybody out there has ever seen the movie Scream. It's not very important as to the content of the movie, but it's the mask that the killer wears reminded me a little of the faces. Their faces were distorted and twisted out of true and alignment. Their jaws were elongated. Their mouths impossibly large. Their eyes incredibly vacuous. And when I looked at this book, I got my glimpse. I was a bit freaked out by it. I woke up. When I woke up back onto the physical level, one of these creepy-faced individuals in the book had chased me from the dream world into the physical and proceeded to bite me on the ankle. But as I would become more and more into the physical, they would fade away. And again, this is actually a fairly common thing too. A lot of occasions I will find, and other people have too, that some of the things that you encounter in the dreams will actually follow you through into the physical, and you can find yourself paralysed, you can find strange individuals in your room, and all sorts of phenomena. I've also found that the best way to deal with these situations is simply by singing the new you. It does seem to be a complete cure-all for creepiness. If you're paralysed, as in a case when I was, in one of my dreams, waking up paralysed with a dodgy individual in my doorway, by singing the new you, it banished the dodgy one and freed me from the shackles of paralysis. And I found that has worked similarly with other strange creatures that seem to bleed over from the real side into the physical. And Dwayne would explain, in regards to this dream, that basically I had a look in this book, and it was a who's who of creepy elites, very possibly the distorted, real side versions of people on the physical, the political elites as they actually are, and not as they portray to be. And one came after me. Why did he do this? He did this because he must have recognised that I recognised him, and he was bothered by this fact. We are spied upon every moment during the Skypes and everywhere. And when and if we do identify these controllers, as in this case when I was peeking at the book, I drew attention to myself, and they recognised the fact that I was identifying them. And so they chased me out of the dream. And personally, I could think of there must be sort of better ways of putting people off than biting them on the ankle, but obviously this individual thought that this was the best that he could manage, given the situation. So, very strange. But as I said, that's basically what it was all about. But that is what we are all doing here. Being aware of what is going on, and we are constantly bothered because of it. We're all going through it. That's how it is in creation. And the controllers are bothered by the fact that we don't simply comply with what they are deciding. And that brings me to the end of my dreams. Before I go on, I wanted to give Gwen an opportunity to speak, because she had a very good dream the other day on the Skype, and it was relating to eating of dodgy jelly babies, which I will allow her to recount.
Yes. My dream was that I was with a group of people, as Kevin always is, but I was this time, and we were in some sort of either laboratory or hospital, big room, there's lots of people there. And somebody was passing around these jelly babies, which I suppose are similar to gummy bears or something like that, but shaped like a baby, which is a bit yuck when you think you're eating them. Anyway, so suddenly we realised, I don't know who said it, that these jelly babies had drugs in them. And one of these people that I was with had eaten one and was having the effect of whatever drug it was. So we were trying to, can you say undrug this person? It's not really a word, is it?
Purge them from their drug-inflicted situation. I don't know, something like that.
Oh, right, that sounds good. Yes, and really that was it, sort of thing. So that was my strange dream.
Yes. And and as I remember, Dwayne would simply say, this was a demonstration of how all the food that we eat, all the things that we drink, etc., is all poisoned and polluted and full of toxins, and particularly the sweets and the candy and things of this nature. It's all full of garbage to dumb us down and suppress our abilities to become more aware and calcify our pituitary glands and etc. etc.
Starting with children to get them early.
Yes, you see all the adverts that are associating all the sort of sweets and food with all this sort of very colourful and delightful imagery to attract and entice the children to eat it from an early age, and then by the time they get to adulthood. Combine that with all the vaccinations and the chemtrails and the fluoride in the water and the electromagnetic radiation soup Wi-Fi that we're all living in and the nanoparticles in the atmosphere, etc., etc., they are practically lobotomized. And that dream was simply demonstrating that to Gwen, but I mean, she is pretty much aware of that anyway, because we have been sort of interested in what's really going on for a number of years now, and we are well aware of all the poisons and garbage and chemical cocktails and toxins they put in all our food. And we certainly do not have any vaccinations and things of that nature, knowing full well the sort of the cancer inducing properties that they contain. And at the moment my sister Lindsay, a baby called Jack, who's about 6 months old or so, it's quite interesting to see firsthand the number of vaccinations he is subjected to. I believe by the time he is 5, he would have had about 40 or so. It seems every other week he seems to have another round of vaccinations. So far he seems to have survived them, and the worst thing about it is, on top of that, is that my sister Lindsay and her husband are so concerned for Jack's health that they also insist on personally having flu vaccinations all the time as well, to ensure that Jack doesn't get sick. So it's all rather a mess. But regardless of how many times I point this out, they don't seem to be particularly interested. But I will persist, much to their annoyance. Anyway, it was quite an interesting thing the other day. On one of the Skypes that I edited, there was a section on it about books that had been removed from the Bible. It was a question posed by Charles, and effectively, there has been lots of so-called holy texts and ancient texts and stuff, which are supposed to be of great interest and relevance for us all, and they have been heavily edited and certain passages and sections removed, particularly of the more interesting parts of it that they don't want us to know about, and apparently it's all being stored and hoarded in the Vatican, etc. And Charles would pose this question to Dwayne, and then Dwayne's responses were thus. Dwayne would say, well, if you were to surrender a new book to the controllers, as an example, slap one of the new books in their hands with their intent and their lack of awareness, what would you imagine would be the outcome? They simply would make absolutely no sense of it. They may edit it and omit the references they felt were dangerous to keeping the slaves in creation, but more likely than not, they would probably miss vast swathes of the information, seeing absolutely no interest in it and no understanding of it. And when it goes down, when it comes down to the secrets the Vatican may be holding, it is really along the lines of torture and control, which is basically what the Vatican and the controllers are into. But the curiosity of the mystery of the possibility of the fact that they might be holding this information in their vaults leads people to focus on this. And ultimately, the people who do become nothing, because it waylays their attention, has nothing to do with their real awareness, and keeps them in creation. As the old saying goes, curiosity kills the cat. I mean, you could well say that curiosity keeps the cat forever in creation, and keeping it unaware. This is all part of the controller's game, pitting people off against each other, the eternal battle of good versus evil, like the gladiators from the Roman Colosseum. They love to put up all these mysteries and strangenesses and, oh, we're keeping funny things in the Vatican. Oh, there's secrets in Area 51. Oh, there's a crashed UFO over there. There's a funny alien over here. There's a deep underground base there with all sorts of secrets and creepies contained within. And all it does is keeps people focused on all of this stuff. And, yes, it may be actually occurring, but nevertheless, the focus is keeping people in creation, and that is the ultimate objective. How long do people want to keep embroiling themselves in the controllers' games? The controllers amuse themselves further still with laser fires in California from satellites and spaceships, 9/11 with explosives and lasers. It's all a game to these creeps. We're on their game board, and if you want to stay in creation forever and agree to it and believe in all these things, and then that is obviously an option, but it's not something that would be the best of things that you could do. They're also destroying all the oxygen in the world too. It's purposefully done, and most people simply believe that is not so. But belief has nothing to do with it. It's either happening or it isn't, and it is all part of the wake up. We have to deal with it, however. But unfortunately, most people are going to be emotionally attached and wrapped up in their personal drama. And as an example of screwed up individuals you might find on the real side, check out those who were destroyed in Fukushima. The emotional impact of being hit by the devastating wave. Suddenly, they were one moment they were there, the next moment they were not. In a split second. And this trauma will stick with them for untold lifetimes when they come back, and they will have to deal with it again and start over. Creation has its point. It has its purpose. It is required to help us to recognise a real awareness and to compare, and has comparisons and references and experiences to recognise the real universes. But at some point, you want to get beyond all these restrictions here that it entails, or keep agreeing to it. People have to make the choices, and not allow others to make the choices for them, like angels and saviours and gods and governments. Here's an interesting bit of information. There's a strange new phenomena that's been sweeping the internet recently. It is a thing called the Momo. This sounds rather odd, but it seems to be a strange situation in which children who are looking up random children-orientated things on the internet will suddenly have...
It's on YouTube.
A very creepy image of what seems to be a statue of a distorted woman appear on their screen, and it will begin to suggest them to take a number of dares and risks, which will slowly escalate to the point where the final dare or risk is to commit suicide. And a lot of the things along the way consist of daring these children to cut their hair off and attack their fellow schoolmates and even stab their parents. And indeed, there's been cases where this has been so. and to the point where the ultimate test is to, for the individual to commit suicide, and it all along goes along the point. It all go, and the idea is that by doing so, you'll meet the what this Momo represents, which is apparently the devil, as Momo can actually be translated as meaning the word devil. And obviously, this is all stuff that's going on in creation. It's all ideas and individuals and strangenesses. So being a little bit on the careful side, not to get too embroiled or focused on it, but it is definitely worth being aware of it, because these things are definitely happening. And it's very interesting, because it would seem to me that ancient entities or demonic type individuals seem to have found a means by which they can have a presence or an effect here on the physical level, besides the usual method of stealing human vehicles, because this is what entities like to do, apparently. They like to make some sort of energetic connection with people, and then they push out the individual that is inhabiting that vehicle and steal it. And in fact, on one of the Skypes, I think it was a number of months ago now, it was revealed that a vast swathes of the human population are actually now entities, in fact, that are inhabiting their vehicles, and the human, and what the individual that was inhabiting the human vehicles has now been forced to be passed on to the other side. And these entities stem from the lower astral, so they're not very nice creatures, in fact. And this perhaps would go to a great extent to explain the extremes of behaviour we've been seeing recently, all the murders and attacks and knife crimes and all this very extreme behaviour that it seems to be the way these entities like to behave. And and the thing about the stealing of human vehicles that these entities like to do is the disadvantage of it is, yes, they can enter a vehicle, but the possibility is then they are subjected to the restrictions of that vehicle and the programmed designed inability of the vehicle to recall past lives, and they may not even therefore remember that they are an entity. Obviously, they will have a constructed consciousness and very bad attitudes, and this will be exemplified in how they behave. But it seems that as an alternative to that, they are making use of technology, perhaps, and due to the technology available, they can make energetic connections with certain individuals, and rather than steal their vehicles, their bodies, they can encourage the person to create something that brings attention to them, an image that represents them, and with enough focus placed upon it, can allow them to have a pseudo-presence on the physical. The Slender Man is an example. It was an individual that was created on the internet. The image of it was spread far and wide. It brought a lot of focus upon it by presenting it on cyberspace, and it has been promoted even more recently through movies, etc. Now, the entity that the created Slender Man may well represent can now have a presence here and affect people and situations, and it has indeed been doing so. The Slender Man has, there have been multiple sightings of it, and lots of disappearances as a result of this creature. And were it to have been simply have stolen a physical vehicle, it may not have been as effective, but it seems that creating an almost physical representation of itself here, it seems to be able to have the sort of abilities that it had on the lower astral and bring them through here. And so you see all sorts of strange phenomena, like these strange appearances of it and the ability for it to disappear people and perform strange magical acts and activities. So the entities obviously find a willing host to promote a representation of them on the physical, bring much focus upon it, and this allows them to remain in the astral but do whatever they want here, what may pass for entertainment for them. The technology then is like an electromagnetic conduit, the individual on the physical almost like a facilitator, opening a cyberspace portal for the entity on the physical. And as I said, the latest version of this seems to be the Momo. And at this time, with all the technology that we have, it would appear these entities, as I said, are making use of this technology and are getting individuals to promote them as a sort of image on this side. The focus are placed upon them, that image, whatever it may be. In the case of the Momo, it's this strange statue of a very ghastly looking distorted woman. And then they are able to exact effect on the physical while remaining in the lower astral, and it appears by doing so they have far more what you may term abilities that they wouldn't have if they simply stole someone's body and they were restricted therefore by it. They would still be a bit dodgy in what they would, the sort of things they would do, but they certainly would not have the ability that some of these strange phenomena seem to have. And it's very likely that we're going to see more of these creatures and entities and ancient demonic individuals finding a way onto the physical or being able to manipulate it by these same means. And there's been lots of talk about how the CERN project is the idea behind that. One of its agendas is to punch a hole through dimensions and allow these creatures to come through. But it's very possible that these entities may have got a bit bored of waiting, and so they may have found an alternative way to be here. And so I just thought that would be a lovely, cheerful note to sort of end up on. But it is a very real thing that's happening. Whatever your thoughts are on it are, and whatever ideas you can add to it, or impressions you may have, it is a very real thing. This Momo is being seen by hundreds of thousands of children and is causing them to do all sorts of strange things. It seems to be very suggestible, and children tend to be very open to suggestion as well. And also with the technology as well, the electromagnetic properties of the computer, it does seem to put people into a very suggestible and hypnotic state in which they are open to manipulation and persuasion, to the extent, it would seem, that they are willing to commit all sorts of strange and heinous acts. But nevertheless, we shall leave it there for today. It was I hope you all enjoyed the show. We will be returning in 2 weeks' time for our next one. And so the only thing that remains to do is to sing the new you. So, are you ready? New you. And there we have it. And don't forget, everybody, before you go to bed, sing the new you for about 10 to 15 minutes. Watch your dream visions, because they all contain the demonstrations and experiences that will help you in your process of becoming more aware, recognizing the real universes and standing real with the ears and the real guides. And so with that, I shall bid you farewell for now.